Well, good morning. You all are brave and tough or something. Man, that was crazy coming over here this morning. I slid down. I was glad I was coming down that hill because that was slippery. Did any of you slip and slide on your way in here? Okay, one of you. Oh, no, I got a couple. Man, that was nuts. That was just nuts. But praise the Lord, we're here. I am just impressed that you all made it this morning. One of the things I love and hate about where we live is days like yesterday and then days like today. I mean, man, yesterday I'm thinking, oh, I could live here forever, and like these winters are so awesome, and man, like no big deal, right? And then today it's like, wah, Mark, you fool. Are you crazy, dude? You should know better than that. And it's like, oh yeah, I should. I have 47 years I've been living in this area, and but it is still God's country, amen? Yeah, let's keep denying. Let's keep living in denial, because it's a happy place, my friends. Anyway, I am glad you're here. It's good to see everybody, and welcome, officially welcome to Bayside. We're glad you joined us. Special thanks to Mark Brookmole. Mark last week gave a great message. I don't know if Mark is in here or not. He was on the worship team, but I just want to thank him. That message, what are you building your life on? You know, building your life upon the rock of Christ, or are we building our life upon that shifting sand? And it was good. Last Sunday also was a blessing, and I don't know if you were or weren't here, but at the end of the service, we introduced Sarah Bush, our new children's ministry director, and then we brought all those children up. And I was here second service, and wasn't that crazy? I think we have a picture if you weren't here. Look at that. That was second service last Sunday morning, and that was just the kids. It was like 50% of the congregation just like stepped out and came up there. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and, you know, that was only one of our three services. I mean, that was, you know, what if we took first service kids and we put them in there, and then what if we took all the Bayside on the Hill kids and we put them in there? I mean, imagine the children, you know, and that we have the privilege of having a responsibility for. And, you know, we challenged, and part of the challenge was to begin to pray for these kids. And I was standing up there with Joshua, because Joshua wanted to come up and be a part of this, and so I came up with Joshua. But as I was standing up there and I was holding him and I was looking around, I was struck with this thought, and I don't want this to become overly something, but I was struck with the thought that there is a battle that is raging for every single one of those children. Every single one of those kids that's in that picture, and the ones that are not, and the ones that you all are holding in your arms, and I see lots of beautiful children out there even now, and that's an awesome thing. There is a battle that is raging for the soul of every single one of those kids. And it is significant, and it is real, and that is why we have started this. That is why we want to pray more for our children. And so if you didn't receive one of these, I believe there's one in every bulletin, but we also have one of these that are back on the Welcome Center, okay? And this is something we started this month, but it's not going to end this month, and so it's something we're going to continue on. We're going to attempt to pray every day for one of the children of Bayside, okay? And so this is a little prayer calendar for the kids here, okay? And so if you didn't get one of these last week, boy, I would strongly encourage you to grab one. It starts, I think, tomorrow. Is today February 28th? Okay, that's cool. So then tomorrow, I should know that, but go with me, okay? Tomorrow is when this starts. So make sure you get one of these. Put this somewhere where you will see it, and then begin. Like tomorrow, we're praying for Skylar. She's 16 years old, and we're going to pray for her as a body. Imagine that, hundreds of people lifting up Skylar tomorrow. Okay, so again, let me just encourage you, make sure you get one of these. This is not a small deal. This is not just another something that we do as a church. This is a big thing. This is very important because I believe there is a, like I said, a spiritual battle that rages for every one of those children. It was an overwhelming thought. I hope that's a visual that you don't soon forget. Just the magnitude of children and the importance of praying for our kids. So let's take this, grab this, and not only take it, grab it, put it somewhere, but let's pray. Let's go to the Lord on behalf of our children. Amen? Okay, I'm going to covenant to do this with you. I'm going to promise you that I will accept this challenge, and I hope that you will do that with me. Okay? So let's do this together. Today we're going to talk about something that I think it's very important. I think it is something that can be very fleeting. It can be something difficult to truly live out. I think it's something that takes some intentionality to have and to hold and to consistently have as a part of your life. And so I want to begin this morning in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Three verses is all we're going to read this morning. It's all we're really going to focus on this morning. But these are three verses that I believe are very powerful. The concepts behind these three verses can be very elusive. I think we all desire these things, but I think it's rare when we actually live these things. What we're going to talk about today is an incredible gift. It's something that's offered and afforded, even promised to us. But boy, it can be tough to live. Matthew chapter 11, let's begin in verse 28. Just three verses this morning. Jesus speaking to his disciples. I believe Jesus speaking to everybody at the 9 o'clock first service at Bayside Baptist Church on February 28th, 2016. I think he's speaking these words to us as well. Come to me, Jesus says, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, Jesus says, and my burden is light. Today we're going to talk about rest. We're going to talk about the altogether at times elusive reality of living a life of true rest in Jesus. I want to pray this morning. I want to ask God's Holy Spirit to be with us because rest, I believe, is something that can only come from God. I don't believe we can work up a life of rest on our own. I don't believe our culture encourages us to rest. I don't believe our flesh encourages us to find true rest. I believe true rest that Jesus is talking about, that we're going to talk about this morning, is only attainable by God himself through Christ. And so I want to pray this morning that our Holy Spirit, that the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, that the Holy Spirit would work. He has promised to be with us when we're gathered in his name. We're gathered in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen? That's why we're here. And so let's pray now. Let's ask the Spirit of God to speak deep to our spirit. Speak deep into that place so that we might leave here in a better place of rest than we came in here perhaps this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, first of all, I do thank you. I thank you for all that you have done for us, God. And at the front of that list is what you did in the sending of your son, Jesus. Christ, we thank you for coming. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the cross and the resurrection. We thank you that we now have hope because of that. And so, Christ, we praise you and we thank you. And we even worship you. We set you this morning, Jesus, above all other things, above ourselves, above this church, above all things. Christ, you are above all. You are preeminent. You are worshiped. You alone, God, should be the object of our adoration. And so now, God, even in these moments, we take all of the things that are consuming our heads and our hearts and our feelings and our desires and all of that. And we just take all of them and we place them just below you, Christ. So we look to you now, Jesus, as the head. And we thank you for that. And so, Holy Spirit, now we pray that you would elevate Christ in our hearts and our minds. And we pray that you, Holy Spirit, would just work now and you would speak and you would have your way in our hearts this morning. So if there's any part of us that is hardened, would you break up that ground and make it prepared for you, Jesus, and your word and your spirit to speak and to move? Because we want to be changed. We want to leave more in the image of your son, Jesus. We want to experience your rest to a greater degree than we've experienced it before. And Father, I would also like to pray specifically, God, if there's folks this morning, and I'm convinced that there are, that are dealing with extreme weariness, extreme tiredness, stress that is beyond stress that they've experienced before. God, folks that are just absolutely at feeling like they are at the bottom this morning, God, I would like to pray that you would meet them in a special way. And Holy Spirit, that you would lift them today from this place of feeling very low. So God, I would pray especially for them this morning. So Father, we want to lift up this time to you. I know we need you to speak this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. Would you please, Father? And I thank you for this time. I thank you for your people, my brothers and sisters. I pray your hand, your blessing, and your touch upon us now as we open up your word. And I just pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Rest. Jesus said, come to me if you want to experience rest. What is rest? I think we all know what it feels like to be rested in some way. Rest is a place of peace. It's a place of feeling refreshed. It's a place of calm. It's a place of being contented. I think we all know what that feels like in different ways to feel that we are in a place of rest, don't we? And let's be honest, it feels really good, amen? Rest is an incredible place to be. It's an incredible state of mind, of emotion, of spirit, of body. You know, you get a good night's sleep and you wake up and you feel that sense of refreshment. And there's nothing like that from a physical standpoint. And so Jesus is telling us that rest is afforded. And we know what rest ultimately feels like. But we also know when we are in a place where we don't have rest, don't we? We know what it feels like to be tired. We know what it feels like to be stressed and burdened. We know that same place. And I think there's many things that come in and try to attack and take our rest, aren't there? If I asked you, what's your greatest rest stealer? You'd probably have something that would just come into your mind and you'd be like, oh, it's this. It's my finances. Or maybe a face comes into your mind. All right, that's not. Sometimes relationships can stress us out, can't they? Sometimes the future or the fear of the future gets very scary and it sort of kind of battles for our rest, doesn't it? Sometimes we have things that have been hurts in the past, and those hurts in the past, or even maybe decisions that we've made in the past, mistakes, they come in and they try to steal our rest for today. Don't they? Things from the past can do that. There are so many things. I think as students, students, you know, when you're coming up to finals, that can be a great place of, well, you feel no peace. Or many times our work situations, they stress us out. And they seem to battle for this place of rest. There are so many things. You know, and I know for a lot of us, health concerns can try to take our rest, can't they? And I think the older we get, these bodies, they're called a tent, they're not meant to last forever, but these bodies don't work perfectly always, do they? And there's a lot of things that fight for that, and that can try to get and take away this place, this state of our bodies, of our souls, and even of our spirits. It can try to attack our rest. You know, I think if we are always tired and never feeling rested, something is wrong. If we never experience the rest that we have been afforded, then something is wrong. At the same time, I think if we are never tired, something is also wrong, because you're not human. We should never be at a place where we are always tired and never experiencing God's rest. And at the same time, there we should have times where we are very tired and in need of rest. So rest is something that comes, and it should come consistently, and there will always be, until we get to our heavenly rest, there will always be things that battle and try to fight against that rest. And so if you are always rested, something's wrong, you're not alive. But if you are never rested, and you are never at a place of refreshment, then something is also wrong as a child of God. So we should, there's always things that will battle for our rest, but we have also been afforded and promised rest. So rest is very, very key. What I want to do is take that little passage. And again, my hope, and I hope you hear my hope in my heart this morning, is that we would come out of this time more rested and a greater understanding of how to live in that place of rest than we came in. So let's take this passage, these three verses, and just look at them one at a time, because I think each one of these verses by themselves is very important. Let's start in verse 28 again from Matthew 11. Jesus said this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." A couple of things. Number one, first of all, rest is promised. Look at what he says, "I will." Jesus said, "I will give you rest." Rest is promised to us as his children. Can I get an amen? Thank you. You have been promised rest. It is not something that may happen, that could happen. It is promised to us. If we come to Jesus, he's promised rest. He's also promised, and look what he said, all who labor. So he's promised it to all of us. This is not some exclusive rest that is only available for super Christians. And I'm glad for that, because I wouldn't qualify. This is a rest that is promised to all. And the only qualification is, look what he says, if you labor and you are heavy laden and you come to him, then you can receive rest. And it's promised. Now I want to look at those two words, labor and heavy laden, because those two words are related and yet they are different. The word labor literally means to work. It means to work to a point where you are tired, you are weary, you are exhausted, and you need rest. You are just depleted. Now, we can become weary for a lot of reasons. Jesus became weary. Jesus did good, but he just did so much good that he got it to a point where he was weary. We see often in Scripture where Jesus labored. He was weary. He got tired. We can become very tired and very weary doing the right things. We can also become weary and tired by doing the wrong things. We can become weary and tired by doing a combination of the right things and the wrong things. We can become weary and tired by just doing too many things or by not learning to rest. So labor is simply being exhausted. And I think there are times when all of us just get tired. We just get exhausted. And that doesn't mean we're wrong, because Jesus certainly felt exhausted during his life. He was wearied, it says, on more than one occasion. So the fact that you and I get physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually tired just means we're alive and we're working. Okay, so he said, if you're all those who labor, all those who are tired. Now, heavy laden is different. Heavy laden means to be stressed. It literally comes from a word meaning to be anxious or burdened. This is the idea that, you know what? I may not be physically tired, but there is just too much on my plate right now. And anxiety is actually a stirring up rather than an exhausted down. You know what anxiety is, don't you? It's when something that you are afraid of or that you fear starts working its way into your mind, and then it gets somewhere down in here, and then anxiety just comes in and you feel burdened. And this is different than just being purely exhausted. This is being overwhelmed with the weight of life. Now, if we have extreme heavy-ladenness, we can experience extreme fatigue and being very tired. So these two can play off each other, but they are different. One is extremely tired and just exhausted, and you know what, I need some rest. The other one is very stressed and anxious and feeling burdened because of life. And Jesus says, whether you are one, whether you are both, come to me. He said, rest is available to you, whether you are just exhausted, you're tired, you're just worn out, or whether you are stressed because of pressure that just feels like it's too much for you to bear. You know, don't we all have seasons where this is us? Don't we all have times where we're either just tired or we're stressed or we're both? You see, Jesus makes a promise. He says, you know what? I have rest that is available to you. I promise you this. And you just need to come to me. Now, coming to me sounds very simple, and we use that very cliche, but coming to Jesus is a powerful thing. Remember, when Jesus was first calling his disciples, he said, come and follow me. The call was always, I am the answer. Now come to me. And Jesus says, when you're just tired and when you're heavy laden, you're overburdened, you're exhausted, come to me. You know, no matter what is causing us to be tired, no matter what is causing us to be stressed, he doesn't put any asterisks where he says, well, you can come to me as long as it's not this. As long as you haven't really screwed up, then come to me. Or as long as the situation of why you're exhausted, if you're exhausted because you've been doing a lot of the wrong things, well, then you can't come to me. Only come to me if you're tired in the way that Jesus was doing. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say, if you're stressed because of all the mistakes that you've made, then don't come. He doesn't say that. He just says, if you're tired and if you're stressed, come to me and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. He doesn't make righteousness or good decisions or good behavior a prerequisite of finding rest in Christ. Can I get an amen? See, that's good news. The good news is that we can come to him no matter what, whether we've been the reason for our exhaustion, whether somebody else has, because usually life is a combination of all those things. Because none of us, I'm pretty sure, do it all right. And at the same time, none of us do it all wrong. And Jesus just says, man, listen to me. When you are in that place where you're just tired, or you're in that place where you're just stressed, just come to me. Come to me. You know, when Jesus spoke this, he spoke this to a group of people that were very burdened. He spoke this to a group of his children, to Israelites that felt very, very stressed and burdened by some of the expectations that were being put upon them. Remember the Pharisees? Remember the group of religious leaders that were supposed to be God's people, God's ambassador, God's mouthpiece? And remember all the things that they added up, these heavy burdens that they were putting on the people? And then they were saying, you know, you can't be righteous, you can't be approved by God unless you do this and do this and do this and don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And they were at all of these weights, and the Israelites, God's people, were feeling very burdened and very tired and very stressed because they really didn't think they could ever be approved by God because they just knew that they weren't righteous in the way that the Pharisees and religion was expecting them to be righteous. And when Jesus spoke these words, he was putting it in that context. You know, there's something very ironic in terms of the Pharisees and their expectations. You know, there was a day that was created from the very beginning. It was a seventh day. It was a day of rest. And that day of rest, remember what that was called? It was called the what? The Sabbath. The Sabbath was meant to be a day, one day a week, when God's people could just step back and they could just rest. And it was designed to be a gift that was given, a restful gift that was given to God's people. Well, the Pharisees, I just read this week, listen to this. They added 600 things you couldn't do on the Sabbath. 600 things that they could not do or they would violate God's rest. Can you imagine how ironic is that? Do you see that? Could you imagine how stressful the day of rest all of a sudden became? Did you picture that? There's 600, you have to keep track of 600 additional things. I can't turn on a light. That's work. Can you imagine how stressful this gift became? And so when Jesus spoke this, he was saying, you know what? Listen, my friends, there is a different way. There is a different way to be approved by God. I'm going to give you a different way to know that you can be at peace with God. I'm going to show you a new way. And guess what? It's all about coming to me. It's no longer about the law. It's no longer about the Pharisees' expectations. It's no longer about anything that you feel like you have to do to be approved by me. It's now going to be about what I am going to do. And so when Jesus said to this group, come to me and you will find rest, they were seeing this in the context of a spiritual rest that had never been experienced in the history of mankind since the garden. That true spiritual rest, that approval by God, that this idea that I can now be at peace with my God would no longer be about what I would have to do. It would now be all about what Jesus would do. And so when Jesus said, come to me, he was saying, you know what? Your first rest, your primary rest, your foundation of rest is going to be found in the work that I will do. It's going to be found in me, in connecting and understanding who I am and this gift of salvation that I am going to give to you on the cross. Come to me and you will find rest. And here's the good news, my friends. We are approved by God. We can now be at peace with God, and it has nothing to do with us. Can I get an amen? It has everything to do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We are now at peace with God. We are approved by God. We have rest for our spirits and our souls, all because of what Christ did on the cross. And we have to understand and constantly go back to the fact that rest comes from Jesus. See, whether you're sick of wondering whether or not you're going to be good enough to make it to heaven, or you're tired of maybe trying to run away from God, or you're confused as to what it's going to take to get the spiritual job done, or you want to know, you just want to know that when you die, it's not the end. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. I'm your rest. I'm the answer. Stop trying to work your way to a God that, you know what, you just can't be righteous enough to work to. You can't be bad enough to not receive the gift, and you can't be good enough to not need it. So why don't you just come to me, Jesus says. Why don't you find rest that is so deep and so foundational and so rich, and it's all about him. You know, this morning, I don't know if you've ever received that rest, but if you haven't, come to Jesus today. Find rest that you've never experienced. And if you've received that and you know you have, but you need a reminder, let me remind you that your rest is all because of Jesus. It's all because of what he did. And when he said, come to me and you'll find rest, he meant it. There is an eternal spiritual rest that we all have. Come to me, Jesus says. Let's go to the next verse, verse 29. He's going to change it a little bit now, and I think verse 28, if that was an overriding picture, now he's going to take and he's going to narrow in on one specific part of rest. It is a living rest. It is a rest that is available to us as we live life on this world. Verse 29, he's going to give us a picture, an example. He says, take my yoke upon you. He's going to talk about eggs this morning. Not that kind of yoke, sorry. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus says, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now he says there is a rest that is different than just an overriding spiritual rest. He says this is a rest now that is related to your souls. Now remember, your soul is composed of three basic things: your mind, your will, and your emotion. So now he is saying to you, I have a rest that is available to you in how you think. Does your mind ever get anxious, stirred up, troubled? Does your mind, do you ever think thoughts you wish you wouldn't think and get stirred up in ways inside of here in this cranium that you wish you wouldn't do? He's saying there is now a rest for your mind. And then he said there is now not only a rest for your mind, but there's a rest for your emotions. Do your feelings ever get the best of you? Do you ever feel some things that you know you shouldn't feel? Do you ever get worked up in your emotions? I do. And then he said there's not only a rest for your mind and for your emotions, but he said now there is a rest for your will. Remember the battle of wills sometimes between us and God? Remember that battle that says, God, I want this, but you want this? That battle of will? He said now there's actually a place and a way you can find rest for your will. He said now you can have rest not only in your spiritual connection to me. See, the spirit is the deepest part of who we are. But the soul is our mind and our wills and our emotions. And now he says, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to give you a picture of how now you can find rest, you can live rest. And I think most of us as believers, we understand verse 28, that we can find spiritual, eternal rest. But I don't know that very, very often we experience this true rest for our souls. But he's going to give us direction on how to do this, and he's going to give us a great picture. He says two things in this. He said, take my yoke, and he says, learn from me. Two very important things. Jesus says, take my yoke and learn from me. And we have to think about those two things. If we want rest for our souls, for our mind, for our will, and for our emotions, we must take his yoke and we must learn from Jesus. So what is the yoke that he is talking about? Maybe you know this. This is from agriculture, from farming. A yoke is something, I think we have a picture, that would attach two oxen or two horses together, and they would plow, they would work together as one. So it is two connecting together by this big, very heavy piece of wood, at least in the ancient times, and they would attach these two together. And Jesus says this. He says, if you want rest for your souls, if you want peace in your minds, if you want a calm contentedness in your emotions, if you want that battle of wills to end, he said, then take my yoke upon you. Look what he says very clearly. Take my yoke. Attach yourself to me. This is now a choice that we make, to take on the yoke of Jesus. You know, as I was thinking about yoking, we are all yoked or attached to something. Every one of us is yoked or attached to something, and that something, we attach to it to give us direction, to give us identity, to give us purpose, to give us support. We are all connecting, yoking, ultimately, understand what I'm saying in this, worshiping something. We are attaching ourselves to something for the purpose of life's direction and life's support and life's focus and life's purpose. This could be a lot of things. We could be yoking ourselves with ourselves. We think, you know, I know there's two holes there, but I really only need one. We could be attaching ourselves to ourselves. We could be attaching ourselves to another person. We could be trying to find our identity in a relationship with a human being on this planet. That could be a friend, that could be a spouse, that could be a child, that could be, in a weird way, an enemy. We could be attaching ourselves to a dream or a hope that we have for the future. And we have attached ourselves to that so much that we see nothing other than that in terms of our future. And that defines us. This hope or this dream. We could be attaching ourselves to a hurt or a fear. In a negative way, we can find ourselves attached to something from the past or something we fear in the future, and that literally defines us. That hope, or that fear, or that hurt, or that negative thing, we can literally attach ourselves to that and find our identity in a negative way in that. We can yoke ourselves to anything. The reality is we are yoked to something. We are all connected, attached to something or to someone that gives us our purpose, our identity, our view of the world. It gives us that. This is the reason I think many Christians don't experience peace in their souls. It's why they don't find rest in their souls, is because, yes, they have come to Jesus for salvation. They have trusted in Christ alone for their salvation, but they have not yoked themselves with him. And I think whenever we lose that sense of peace in our souls, we are forgetting to take up the yoke and attach ourselves to Jesus. You know, we can have salvation and that ultimate spiritual rest. And after that, verse 28 comes verse 29, where he said, now, my brothers and sisters, take my yoke. Now attach yourselves to me. They've accepted Jesus as Savior, but they're struggling to make him their Lord. We have another picture of two oxen. I like this picture. You know, sometimes we get confused as to who's who. Right? For the record, you and I are the one on the right. Jesus, he said, attach yourself to me. Take my yoke. Please connect yourself to me. You know, there's a reality in farming. I never knew this until last night, that when you have a younger or a smaller oxen and it becomes tired, the larger or the stronger oxen will take all of the weight, 100% of the weight of that burden off that smaller or that weaker oxen. The stronger one will take all of the weight. They will stay attached. And the smaller one that is exhausted will continue to walk. But there will be no weight associated with that walk because the larger one knows the smaller one is tired. And because they are attached, the smaller one, although tired, and where they were pushing forward and being a part of it, now they are actually being carried along by the larger one. But only in submission to the larger ox, only in connection and attachment to the larger ox, will that oxen find, that smaller oxen who's just tired, will they find the support and the strength to keep going. And when they realize that, and when that smaller oxen who is so exhausted, realizing it, not only does it not have to pull, that now it is being pulled, and only then will it truly look up and say, oh my word, you're really going to do this for me? You're going to take the weight of this burden? Are they still plowing? Yes. Is the burden still the same? Yes. Is this small one still exhausted? Yes. But now it is being pulled along and helped by the big dog. See, Jesus said, will you please come to me? Will you please take my yoke upon you? You know, when I read verse 28, I can almost see Jesus pleading with us as his kids. I almost see him like pleading and be like, will you please just take my yoke? Listen. You need this. I have this for you. I paid for this. So will you please just yoke yourself with me? Will you please stop trying to go your own direction? Will you please just come here? Will you please? Remember, can't you hear him say, remember, I'm humble. I'm gentle. Remember, I came down to you. Remember, I became a man for you. Remember, I was tired like you. Remember, I was tempted like you. I get it. I get your life. Will you please, my children, will you please yoke yourself with me? Because when you get tired and when you get exhausted and when the heat of the day has just gotten too much, guess what? I'll carry you along. I will be your strength when you don't have any. I will be the one that supports you when you don't have any strength to even keep on going. I will be that for you. Will you please? Can't you just hear Jesus pleading with this? Will you please attach yourself to me? Stop going in your own direction. Stop thinking you know best. Stop it. Why stop it? Because listen, I love you. I love you so much. Please just find yourself attached to me and yoking yourself with me. I've been through difficulties like you're going through difficulties. I was tempted in every way like you are. So come on, attach yourself to me. Then in verse 30, he tells us the reason why we should attach ourselves and what is the result of a life that is yoked with Jesus. Verse 30, Jesus says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that word easy is not necessarily the way we would interpret easy. The literal definition is better. For my yoke is better. Because we could misinterpret that and think that a life walking with Jesus is easy. And I would be lying if I said walking with Jesus is easy, but it is better. Can I get an amen? My yoke, taking my yoke upon you, it's better. Trust me, way better. And my burden, the burdenness, the difficult things, the stresses and the weights and the exhaustion, those things can become light for you. Because when those things get too much for you, guess what? I'll carry you along. I will take you through. I will be your strength when you don't have any. We accept the yoke of Jesus because it's better and it's light. We will find rest. We will find peace. We will find contentment. We will find refreshment in Jesus. We will find rest in here. He will take the weight of our burdens. He may not take the burdens. Did you hear the difference? He may not take the burdensome situations, but he will take the weight of the burdensome situations. You know, so often we pray and we want and we expect, and I understand this, I'm with you in this, we expect God to take the burdens. Take them away. But rather than that, he's just going to say, you know what, I will take the weight of those things for you. If you come to me, if you learn from me, if you learn how I did life, I'll take the weight of those things. He may or may not change our situations. We all pray that he does. He may or may not change our situations, but he has promised to take the weight of them. He has promised to take the burdensomeness of those situations. All of them. All of them. He has promised us rest and he has promised us peace, irregardless of our situations. I want to wrap up with five little thoughts on how we can practically find rest in Jesus. How do we rest in Christ? How do we practically come to Jesus to find true rest? Five little things as we close. Number one, accept his offer. Accept his offer. We are saved by grace. We have full approval. We are now righteous before God because of all that Jesus did. Amen? We must begin by accepting his offer, the free offer of God's grace given to us. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. Every single one of us has fallen short. And when we realize that Christ paid the penalty for our sin, the Bible says we have eternal life. We trust in that great gift of God's grace. We accept the offer of rest. Of true spiritual rest. And this is available for all. Let all who labor and are heavy laden come. Number two, we acquire his yoke. One of the things I like is all of these begin with A. And that made me feel very pastoral. I don't know why, but I guess pastors like to do that. Number two, we acquire his yoke. What does this mean? This is what we talked about. We attach ourselves to Jesus. We find that he is the big dog in our life. He is our Savior, but he is also our Lord. We find intimate connection with him. We submit to him. We accept his mission. This mission that he is on of reconciliation of the world is not easy, but it is better. And we find ourselves engaged in the mission, in the work, in the person of Jesus when we acquire his yoke. We take off every other yoke, every other burden, every other thing that we have yoked ourselves to. We break those yokes and we accept the light and the better yoke of Jesus. Number three, We attain his perspective. This is very important. We must have a change of perspective. You see, our perspective is not always an earthly one. It is always one that is focused on the situation and the circumstances that are in front of us in this world. We live in this world, right? And so we are very earthly focused, and so we must attain a different perspective. You know, there's a great story in Mark chapter 4. Jesus and his disciples are in a boat, and they're trying to get across this lake. And this storm comes up, and it's like this. It's a big storm, and the waves are coming into the boat, and the boat is filling with water. And the disciples, who are all fishermen, these are all guys, they've been on the sea. They're not a bunch of guys that's their first time, you know. It's not their first rodeo. They have been in a boat, and they are freaked out. They are certain they are going to die. And they look around for Jesus because he's in the boat, but they can't find him. And they find him down below. And do you remember what he was doing? He was sleeping. What? And they go down and they're like, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to die, Jesus. We're all dead men and you're part of where? And can't you just imagine? And it doesn't say Jesus was resting. It doesn't say he was closing his eyes. It doesn't say he was just kind of waiting down there like, he was sleeping. He was asleep. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This was not a mild little rest. He was asleep. And so they shake him to wake, and I can just see Jesus say, yeah, pretty bad out there, huh? All right. Cool. Peace. Be still. Flat like glass, clear, calm. And then Jesus said, oh, you guys, why didn't you trust? Why didn't you trust? And I've been thinking about this. I'm like, how could Jesus sleep? Because he was still a man. He had a heavenly perspective. He knew that if it was not his time to go, he was not worried about it. He had a heavenly perspective. He knew. Now, he was God, so he knew some other things. But he understood that if it was not his time to go, he was not going to die. He had a heavenly perspective on life. He wasn't worried about the wind and the storms. He had a heavenly perspective. The other thing I love about that story, we need to learn how to find rest in the storms. See, we don't just find rest after the storms. Jesus' perspective was he was sleeping during the storms. We need to learn from Jesus. Remember, learn from me, Jesus said. We must learn from him how to find rest, not when the storm is done, but in the middle of the storm. And rest is afforded to us at all times, even in the midst of it. Number three, we attain his perspective. Number four, we adopt his rhythm. We adopt his rhythm. This is not musical rhythm, because we know we've proven that we here at Bayside don't have any. Our worship team does. I'm sorry, that's a bad joke. Okay. This is the rhythm of life. Jesus clearly found and had and lived a rhythm of life, and his rhythm looked like this. He would work very, very hard to a point of being weary, and then he would get away and he would rest. He would work very hard for the kingdom and for the gospel and God's work. And then he would find a place of solitude and being alone and being quiet. Jesus also clearly observed the Sabbath day. Now, he knew that Sabbath was not something that was a religious requirement, but it was a gift, because he himself said, Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath, 24 hours within a week that we can actually rest, is something that Jesus did. In fact, even on the last week of his life, imagine this. There is a day in the last week of his life that just goes missing. Theologians can't find it. They don't know what he did on that day during that last week. Think about this. Even on the last week of Jesus and all the things that he had to do and think about, he still took a day to rest. He took a day to relax and to rejuvenate. Pastor Tom and I were talking about this earlier. You know, not a lot of us do this well, do we? We don't have the rhythm, I don't think, of Jesus, and I'm going to be a part of we. The rhythm of working really hard and then consistently finding that place of rest and that place of solitude. We must adopt the rhythm of Jesus. See, coming to Jesus and learning from him also means we learn how to adopt the rhythm of life that Jesus had. Although he was never seemed rushed, he accomplished so much. And although he worked very hard, he consistently got away and found times of rest and refreshment and renewal. We must adopt the rhythm of Jesus. What does that look like for us? Well, if you're not currently taking and accepting and receiving the gift of the Sabbath, maybe consider accepting that gift. You know, the Sabbath was made for you. The Sabbath was made for you to receive and to live as a gift. God said, you can accomplish, you can get done all of the things that I have for you to get done in 6 days. You're gonna be successful. You can do it in six. And on the seventh, I'm giving you a gift that is called Sabbath. And you can rest. I'm going to give you the right because God said it. I'm going to give you the right to take one day to do nothing but relax and refresh and remember how good God is and reflect upon his faithfulness in your life and play if you like to play. Whatever that thing is, however you can refresh and renew and rejuvenate your soul and your mind and your body and your spirit, whatever that looks like, you can take one day out of every week from now until the day that you die and rest. Hebrews tells us we must strive to enter that because that does not come naturally. That's why not a lot of us do that really well. But I just want to give you the right. I just want to tell you that it's a gift and you can do it if you'd like to. And you will still accomplish everything you need to accomplish for the Lord. The work will still get done. Can I get an amen? Thank you. We must adopt his rhythm. Finally, number five, the fifth A is to abide in his word. We must consistently connect to God's word. Why is this? Because we believe God's word still speaks. Amen? God's word is living and active. Christ connects himself. He said he was the word. And here's the reality of life. The reality of life is always changing. The situations in our life are always changing, which is why rest is so elusive. We learn how to find rest in one season of life, and the next thing you know, life changes. And all of a sudden, it is relearning how to find rest in this new season with this new set of circumstances. And God's word will show us how to consistently find rest in any and every situation of life because life changes. You know, that's why you've probably experienced seasons of rest in the past, haven't you? You've experienced that. You've had little seasons where you feel like, wow, I think I might be resting. And then something changes in life. And the Lord is sovereign over that. What is he doing? He's refining your faith like fire. Why is he doing that? Because he said your faith is more precious than gold. You are so precious to him. You are so loved by him that he's going to refine you and I until the day that we get to heaven. But when some of that refining comes, all of a sudden rest goes away. And then we must learn how to reattach ourselves to Jesus and learn from him. And the word teaches us what do we do in this season of life, because Christ will speak through his word. And what do we do in this season of life now to live rest? Because you know what? It's elusive now, even though it wasn't elusive last season of life. And if I'm really honest with you, this is where I'm at in these moments. I come to this message very humbly. I come to this message needing rest more than coming as an expert of rest. Because I am in a season where I am learning this. I am learning that maybe I knew how to rest in different seasons of my life, but I'm learning this anew. And I'll tell you this, you know, it sounds really good and fine to preach it on a Sunday morning, but it's difficult to live. Do you know what I'm saying? When you're just tired, you're exhausted, and when you're stressed, it's tough, isn't it? And I'll just tell you that I'm there with you. I'm totally there with you. But I'm not giving up. I'm trusting in the promise that Jesus said, if I come to him, if I accept his offer, if I acquire his yoke, if I attain his perspective, if I adopt his rhythm, and if I abide in his word, I will receive rest. Anybody want rest this morning? Rest for your souls? We're going to close with Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will, Jesus says, give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The rest of Jesus, it's a beautiful gift. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and as we prayed earlier, you are the author of rest. You are the giver of rest. We only have rest because of you and because of what you have done. So first of all, we just thank you. We thank you for that first spiritual rest that we received when we trusted in you, Christ. And God, now our desire is to live that rest consistently in our life, finding rest for our souls. Father, I pray that we would learn from you. Jesus, we would learn from you. We would learn your life. We would learn how you did life on this earth, that we might live that life and find consistent places of peace and contentment and refreshment. Father, I pray that today we would live more of your rest as we attach and yoke ourselves with you, Christ. I pray that your people would experience your rest and give you praise and give you thanks and give you all the glory that you deserve. Because again, it is really all you. And we thank you for caring for us, for loving us, for sacrificing for us, and Jesus for giving us a great example to follow. We love you, we worship you, and I pray all those in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. We can sing all four verses. Thank you.